This is Paris. Paris Hilton. Paris.
This is Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton!
Paris Hilton is the it girl.
That's hot. She's been in the news nearly 2 decades.
An illicit sex tape starring Paris Hilton hit the internet this week.
Became one of the most recognized faces on the planet.
Come on, let's go to Paris's. I want to rob.
More than 13 million people watched her show, The Simple Life.
Have you ever had a real job?
No.
All the things with social media. First person was Paris Hilton.
You created that person to sort of get through.
She literally gave me a career.
My life has been so public.
I've been talked about in such cruel and mean ways.
I've been through hell and back. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Paris Hilton and her husband got married in November of 2021.
The birth of your son.
And surprising the world with her second baby.
And one of the highest paid DJs in the world.
In her new self-titled memoir. In season 2 of her reality show, Paris in Love.
This is a whole new phase in my life. I just feel like a different person. Transforming and just becoming a new person, growing in ways that I couldn't even imagine before.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle.
2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. During a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and never survive. I had to flee my own state to receive treatment. I think Donald Trump bears an incredible amount of responsibility for these restrictive laws. We need leaders that will protect our rights, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
This episode is brought to you by Azo Vaginal Health Products. Most women will experience a yeast infection during their lifetime, but it is time to stop giving women's health the silent treatment. I think sometimes we get so anxious, we don't want to deal with it. Well, actually, yeast infections, you're like, I actually have to deal with this. I literally am so fucking itchy right now. That is what Azo products are for. They have an entire line of products designed to help balance your vaginal pH and protect your vaginal health. Azo Complete Feminine Balance helps restore the balance of good bacteria and for protection from yeast and urinary tract issues. Try Azo Dual Protection. Azo, care that goes there. Daddy gang, you can save 20% with the promo code PODCAST at azoproducts.com. That's A-Z-O products.com.
You guys know what's happening. Let's go, Daddy Gang.
What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Paris Hilton, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thank you.
I am so happy we're finally doing this. It's long overdue. Congratulations. You just had a baby girl, London.
Thank you.
How are you and Carter feeling?
We are just so happy. I just feel like my life feels so complete. She is so beautiful. And it's just so cute to see Phoenix with his little sister. And I've always wanted a daughter my whole life. I've always wanted to have a little girl named London. So the fact that she's here now is just everything.
You kept it a secret from the whole world and your family. I'm curious, like, how the hell did you keep it a secret? Was there ever a moment where, like, the secret was almost blown?
No, I'm very good at keeping secrets. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like my life has been so public. Everything I've done has just always been so out there. And I just really just didn't want any of that outside chatter. I didn't want people discussing my children before they were here. It was just, I don't know. I just wanted to have something for myself for once.
So did you, it was just you and Carter that knew?
Yeah, just Carter and I. No one knew. Like it was a fun, like, I don't know, like secret to have with each other, I guess.
Okay, well, congratulations. Paris, you're an icon. You were the queen of the 90s. You're still the queen. You're the original influencer. Like, there's truly, we could do a 9-hour interview. You're like, bitch, get the fuck out of my house. But when I think about my audience, I think about this like younger generation who obviously knows you, but I feel like they know you through like certain iconic moments they see maybe in pictures, but they don't know the backstory to things, or they know you now, obviously. So I kind of want to take a little walk down memory lane. Okay, here we go. Do you ever Google yourself?
Yes.
I was Googling you this morning and I'm like, every trend, I feel like that was like huge in the early 2000s. You were starting, like everything you were putting on, people were going, people were buying. So I'm curious, if you had to pick three top trends that were like your most iconic staples, what would you pick from the 2000s?
Definitely my 21st birthday dress, the Swarovski covered Julian McDonald dress that I've seen so many people recreate it, wear it for their 21st birthdays or birthdays. And that dress is just, if I was a dress, I would be that dress. That for sure. I love the little like skirts I used to wear, like the mini skirts. Mm-hmm. Should be the size of a belt because life's short. Take risks. And the velour tracksuits. That's why I came out with my own line.
All of these iconic things that you wore, do you archive your stuff?
A lot of it, yeah.
Like you have like, do you have any of like the razor flip phones left?
Yes.
The sunglasses,
the sidekicks covered with Swarovski crystals.
Holy shit. Will you ever let London use some of your archive, or is she going to have to kind of like do her own thing?
I definitely have been saving pieces for her. Like throughout my life, I've always kept things for one day for my daughter. I don't want to wear some of the outfits for a little bit.
You don't?
Too much.
What is one thing that you definitely are like, I've saved this, I want to give this to my daughter?
Just like different pieces that I've got from like Dolce & Gabbana, Versace, just like beautiful dresses that I know one day when she goes to prom, she's going to have like these epic dresses to wear.
I feel so bad for all the girls at that prom. She's going to be like, oh my God, she has arrived. I think about your social life back then. Okay. And like, truly, when you were younger, you were the like running the socialite scene. Obviously, your last name holds a lot of weight. But like, how did you get into the scene? How did you get into these clubs? How did you become friends with these celebrities?
Well, before I moved to New York, I was living in LA my whole life. And then I moved to New York when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And I had lived such a sheltered life before that. My parents were so strict. I wasn't allowed to go out. I wasn't allowed to go on dates. I couldn't go to school dances. So then I moved to New York. I'm living in the Waldorf Astoria. All of a sudden, my sister and I are getting invites to all these club openings, parties, premieres, these huge events, and we're getting sent all these designer clothes. And then we met Noah Tepperberg and then started going to all of his clubs almost every single night. And it all just happened that way. It just kind of just me going out.
Did you ever worry about like upsetting your family of like, I'm going to go the complete opposite way of what every maybe other heiress is doing of like acting proper and like being a good like Catholic girl?
My mom was so strict, but I was just such a rebel. And I think because she was so strict, it made me rebel even more. Yeah. And I think just being an Aquarius with my ADHD, I'm just like, I have a lot of energy and I just loved going out. Like I didn't care if my mom would be like, okay, you need to be home at midnight. I would figure out a way to like sneak out at night, put on a wig, like run down 30 flights of stairs at the Waldorf, sneak into like a cab, go downtown. I just had like this thing called club-itis where I was obsessed with clubbing.
Also, I'm thinking about like you casually just like living in a hotel. Did that make it harder to sneak out or easier?
Harder, because my parents would tell the security, they'd tell the concierge, the front desk, like everyone who worked at the hotel was like on the lookout for me. That's why I came up with all these disguises. I would take like a Barbie doll, put it in my bed, have like the hair sticking out, like with the pillow, so in case my mom checked on me at night. Like I just came up with like the sneakiest ways. So if my daughter London ever figures out any ways, like I know every trick in the book.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm wondering, like, do you think you're going to take the same parenting style? Like, do you think you will be hard on her? Or are you going to go like easy breezy? Like, oh, have fun at the club, sweetie.
I'm going to be, I always was upset with my mom because she was so strict. But now that I am a mom, I can totally understand. Like, I'm going to be so terrified when she becomes a teenager and wants to go on dates and wants to go out, like, just because I know how it is and just how men are and how people are.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be so strict where she rebels too. So it's really a hard thing.
Back then, I feel like wherever you went, paparazzi followed. And there is, I would say, arguably one of the most iconic photos to this day in history is a photo you just reposted on your Instagram. It is you, Britney Spears, and Lindsay Lohan in a car. And I'm like, I think it lives rent-free in every millennial's head. It's like, it's been on t-shirts, it's been on coffee mugs, like, you name it, you've seen this photo. What were you guys doing that night? Like, where were you guys going? Where were you? Just, like, fill us in on a little bit.
We were at the Beverly Hills Hotel in one of the bungalows. And Brittany and I are there, and these guys were just being so annoying, and we were just so bored. So we went into the bathroom. I was like, all right, we're just going to, like, jump out this window and get out of here. And so we locked the door, jumped out the window, and then started, like, sneaking out to the car just to – because I hate, like, saying bye to people, because then everyone's like, oh, why are you leaving? And then it's, like, a whole half hour having to say why you want to leave, and I'm just the type that hates confrontation. So we basically snuck out the window, we were walking to the car, and then all of a sudden just got blasted with all this paparazzi. And then Lindsay came over, and then we were all in the car together. And
dude,
I had no, it was just like a normal night out. Like, we weren't doing anything. And the media the next day, like, made it out to be like this huge deal, like vilifying us, like we're bad people. It's like, we're just like
running
young girls,
boys,
like going out like everyone else does and running away from boys.
We're just like Irish exiting from the Beverly Hills Hotel. It just happens to be Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, and Paris Hilton. Like, no big fucking deal. It's so cool. And like, I can imagine you, it must feel so kind of cool to see like so many people still are obsessed with these big moments. Are you still close with these people?
I was writing with Lindsay like 2 days ago. I invited her to this party. She's coming to LA in a few months, so we're going to make plans to see each other, the babies. And then I was talking with Brittany like 3 days ago as well, and we were planning a girls' night because she wants to come over, and
it's amazing.
We just play dress up and hang out. We're just, it's really fun.
It's cool to see like you're all in such different phases of your life now. You guys have babies and to still be able to just like have fun and like catch up. I think it makes all of us in the world like we can sleep at night knowing the girls are thriving. Let's talk about another iconic person that is one of also the most famous people in the world, Miss Kim Kardashian. I'm looking at Google and I'm seeing you guys like walking in again, getting paparazzi together. And it's so crazy to see that like you guys were friends back then. How did you guys meet?
We've known each other since we're little girls because our moms were best friends growing up our entire lives.
Oh,
we both went to Buckley with each other and then just became close in like 2000 something when I moved to my house on Kings Road and a family friend of ours, Faye Resnick, was my interior designer. I was moving everything from my one house to my other house. And she's like, Kim is amazing. She's so organized. She's going to come and help you. And then we just became best friends. We had so much fun together, started traveling all around the world. And she was the like one who was very organized and I was the one who was very disorganized. So we made like an amazing team. And we just had the best time together.
It's just cool to see now, like, all of you, again, going in different directions. Like, Kim, what she's built, what you have built. It's just, it's cool that you've, like, back in the day, we're going and, like, drinking with these girls and partying. And now everyone kind of has, like, built their own empires.
It's
and
so
I, like,
incredible.
Love that for the girls.
I love it. Just to see so many of my friends and so many women building their empires and their businesses and...
Yeah.
Just girls are taking over the world.
They are. How did you navigate dating in your early 20s when so many eyeballs were on you? Like, did you even enjoy yourself?
It was hard to have any privacy because from the moment I left my house till I went to bed at night, there was 50 cars waiting outside with paparazzi. So I had no privacy whatsoever. Anytime I'd be at an event, if I even spoke to a guy, like all of a sudden the next day it would say that we were dating, like... There's just been so many things in the media of guys that I didn't even know I maybe met once. And then the media would just make up all these stories. And just being, just having to trust someone because a lot of these guys wanted that attention. So it was hard to figure out like who to actually trust.
Yeah. Would you say you were the type of girl that was like a relationship girl or like a single girly? Like, what were you up to?
I feel like I loved relationships. Like, me being in love, like, that's my favorite thing. But I also would get bored so easily. So I think back then I didn't even know who I was and I didn't trust anyone. So it was kind of just like, I don't know. And so many bad things would happen to me. People would cheat on me, humiliate me. And then I would have not only be humiliated, then publicly all around the world, people would be talking about it. So it was just really hard to let anyone in. Like, I had such walls around my heart that I never truly let anyone in.
Yeah. If I was to ask like your sister or your best friend, like, what was it like dating Paris back then? What do you think they would say? Like, what were you like in a relationship?
I was very loyal. It was fun. We were going out every single night too. So it's hard to really have a serious relationship when you're every night going to a club, something's happening. And then a lot of times I would just be so over the person. But again, I hate confrontation. So to break up with them, so I would just ghost so many people. So I think that a lot of people would say that I was definitely like a heartbreaker and a ghoster.
I love that you're like, I really didn't want to end relationships. So it was like, I'm just going to ghost them. And like, what would you just like not answer them ever again?
Never answer them again, basically.
Did you ever make sure that a guy couldn't get into a club?
Yes.
No.
Yes. If anyone fucked with me, I would tell every single club, do not ever let him in. Like, I don't even care if I'm not even there. Just like, no. Totally blacklist them.
Baller.
Yeah.
Like, if you cheat, you basically can't go outside.
Yeah.
Because like, you won't be able to get into even restaurants. You started at the clubs in Paris. Is like, also restaurants in LA, restaurants in New York. Oh, wow. Mm. That's like some power that like, I feel like all the ladies watching are like, ooh, I wish I had that power to be able to do that. Do you think you had a type during your 20s? Like, if you could like, if all of them were in this room, was there a type happening over there, Paris?
I don't know. I look back and like cringe at some of these people. I'm like, what the hell was I thinking?
Why? What were they doing?
It's just like beyond. Like, I don't know. I just look back at some people and they're just like not good guys.
Isn't it the worst when you're like, why did I let them say forever that they dated me?
Yes, I hate that. It's just not humiliating. Or some of the male models are just... Yeah.
Interesting. Not the vibe. Okay, we got to talk about The Simple Life. During this time in your life, you get on a reality show and it's The Simple Life and it's with you and Nicole Richie and it premieres and like it was literally the biggest thing. I remember like it had like 13 million views an episode on network television on Fox. Like it was unheard of how insane this show blew up. Do you ever rewatch the show?
Yes.
You do?
All the time.
Tell me all your thoughts. Wait, can you tell, for anyone that's like younger that hasn't watched it, can you give like the premise of this reality show?
The Simple Life is basically about two best friends who go to these little small towns and took away our money, our credit cards, our cell phones, and we basically live the simple life. But we have so much fun together and constantly getting fired from every single job and just like going and just like having these crazy adventures.
It's so
all across
good.
Middle it's America. So good.
Tell me what you think when you rewatch it.
I just laugh so much. I think that show is just so hilarious. Nicole's came over a couple times and we go into the movie theater room together at her house or here and just watch the episodes and just both just like laugh so hard that we're crying.
Did you enjoy filming it?
Yes.
How much of the show was actually real?
All of it.
All of it.
Like, especially the first season, they didn't let any of the camera people talk to us. Like, if we'd be like, what do we do now? They're like, no, like, no one was allowed to tell us any directions, nothing.
Okay, so the less, like, glamorous side was, I remember you said, I think it was in your book, you said, like, the producers came to you and they were like, play the dumb blonde. Mm-hmm. Like, play it up. Like, and I think what was so interesting is, like, that is then, like, it is kind of like how America then saw you. It's like this like rich, dumb blonde girl. How did you handle the misconception of you back then when everyone thought you were actually this dumb?
Well, with The Simple Life, yeah, the producer said, Nicole, you be the troublemaker. Paris, you just be the dumb blonde and basically play into what you know, people would assume that we were. And I would just put on that character. And I think because of what I had went through when I was a teenager, it was almost like this mask or kind of like a protective shield in a way. And then when I would go and do interviews on like the late night shows and everything, people expected me to continue being the character because it would be weird if all of a sudden I was just myself. And then I just kind of got like stuck in that character almost. And I don't know, it was difficult sometimes for just for people to have so many misconceptions and assume that I was something that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know, I also just was like having a good time and laughing all the way to the bank at the same time. So it was fine.
That's what I think is so fascinating is like, I remember in middle school, it was like cool if the girl was dumb. Mm-hmm. Like it was like hot if the girl's just like dumb.
Yeah.
And I now look back at that and I'm like, what? I can see obviously what the producers were doing. It was so brilliant. But I think for your real life, did you ever start to like resent that character?
Not resent it, but sometimes I would just be like, these people have no idea. But yeah. Something I've always loved to do is prove people wrong.
Yeah.
And I know that I've definitely done that now. Mm-hmm. And people can see that I'm not a dumb blonde. I'm just very good at pretending to be one.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like in your documentary, I feel like we got to really see like so many different sides to you. And actually, I think a lot of people were like, oh my God. Like we had no idea this whole time, like how smart this girl is, how aware she is of this brand that she's built. And I think I remember something people were so fascinated by was like when you kind of talked about like the two different like voices you will use and kind of like interchangeably, like there's the high pitch and then there's the more like chill voice. And I'm curious, like, how do you decide when to do which voice?
It's something that I've been doing for so long that I can't even like control it. Like, when I get shy, the voice will go up higher. And then when I'm just like feeling a little bit more relaxed, yeah. It's more lower. But sometimes I have to tell myself like, Paris, just talk in your normal voice. But I don't know what it is. I think from so many years of doing it, it's just become a part of me.
Like you did the higher one for so long that I think that's why in the documentary, you were more in your like normal tone. And I think that's why so many people were like,
yeah, they were shocked.
Fuck. What does your most like authentic version of you look like?
Me just chilling in like my tracksuit with my socks. No makeup, hair pulled back, puppies all over me, and just being at home with my husband and my puppies and my babies.
I love the specificity of the socks.
Yeah, I love socks.
Watch that be like the one thing that trends from this episode. It's like, I love socks.
Socks are hot.
So yeah. Okay. I do want to talk to you about one thing that I think is like was very like huge, sadly, in pop culture. It's like you have spoken about a lot of really like traumatic sexual experiences that you've had in your life. And I think so many women have been able to connect to you even more because of how open you decided to be, especially in your documentary. It was like it was incredible. One of the things that I think was really like so public was when you were 19 and you had filmed a sex tape with your current partner at the time, your boyfriend, and then a few years later he decided to leak it without your permission. And obviously the concept of like revenge porn is so huge nowadays of women struggling to like have any autonomy over their body, essentially. Can you take me back to the moment when you found out that video had been leaked?
This episode is brought to you by eBay. You know real when you get it, right, Daddy Gang? It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guaranteed, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. So ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Tap the banner to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Dottie Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Can you take me back to the moment when you found out that video had been leaked? Like, where were you? Who were you with? How did you find out?
That was one of the most painful experiences of my life. I was with my sister, Nikki, and we were in Australia, and I got a call from someone on my team, and they told me that one of the entertainment shows received a 30-second clip, and I did not believe it. I was like, what? I'm like, that has to be fake. Like, there's no way, because I didn't even remember making it. And then they sent it to me, and I felt like my whole world was ending. Like, I was in hysterics crying. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even want to fly back home to LA because I knew as soon as I landed, there would be so many paparazzi and reporters waiting. And I kept changing my flight and just staying in Australia with my sister. I didn't know what to do. They wanted me to go back to LA because The Simple Life was about to come out. I was supposed to go on a press tour for that. I was like, there's no way I'm doing that. I canceled everything. And then just going back home, I just didn't want to leave my house. I was so depressed. I was so humiliated. I felt like I had let down my family, my little brothers, my sister. Like, it was just, I put so much shame on myself. And now being an adult and looking back, I just realized that shame should not have been on me. I was a teenage girl, someone who I loved and was with in a relationship and who I trusted. This was pre-internet, pre-social media. He promised me no one would ever see it. And it was just one of the most traumatic things I've ever experienced. And looking back now, today, that would all be illegal.
Yeah.
And people were so vicious and so mean, and just the whole world watching it, laughing about it, every late night host just talking about it, making jokes. And it's something that will haunt me for the rest of my life. Just one night with someone who I loved and trusted.
I'm curious, like, in the moment, because I what's so frustrating about sex tapes is what you're doing is what everyone does. Mm-hmm. You're having sex. You decide to film it. But can you take me to, like, how did you feel about it when it was being filmed?
We had been together a while, and yeah, he was pressuring me and being like, oh, let's do a tape. And I was like, no, I don't want to. And then he was like, okay, fine. If you won't do it, I'll just call someone else. And kind of, like, threatened me in a way, like, okay, if you won't do it, then someone else is going to come here and do it. And I was just so dumb and so, like, young and naive that I gave into it because I was scared that he would have someone else come over. But now, looking back, if someone would say that to me now, I'd be like, fuck you. Like, right. I never want to fucking look at you again.
Yeah.
So it just makes me, I don't know, sad for myself that I let someone manipulate me like that. And now, for the rest of my life, people are going to judge me on that and assume that I'm like a slut. Mm-hmm. Because of one night with someone.
That's what's really fucked up. And I feel like every time any woman is like exploited in media, I feel like it takes so many years for people to have the conversation about like the slut shaming that you endured. Like, can you talk a little bit about like how you handled, like, everyone was like you, I remember you wrote in your book, I wrote it down, the world thinks of me as a sex symbol and I'm here for that because symbol literally means icon. But when people saw that sex tape, they didn't say icon, they said slut and they said whore. Like when you look back and now even having like a daughter on like yourself, like how do you think that should have been handled?
I think that they should have looked at it in a way like this is a teenage girl. Like, we shouldn't even be talking about this. Like, this person should be in jail. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people were just so mean and, like, thinking it's funny, like, it was just, it was disgusting just to have to see just what, I don't know, just misogynistic people, people just being so judgmental and, I don't know, everyone vilifying me and then celebrating him. Like it was just and then for people to think that I was in on it as well, that was the part that pissed me off the most, where people thought that I was involved in this, because that was the last thing that I would ever want in my life. Like I always looked up to all these amazing women, and I felt like when he did that to me, he took all that away from me, and I could have never been the person who I wanted to be.
Yeah, I feel like something about being this like, yeah, sex symbol, this like hot woman that everyone looked at in not even just America, the world. Like, I'm curious, like how you felt about yourself and your sexuality behind the scenes while everyone else was like getting off to you, watching your sex tape, talking about your body, your looks. Like, how did you feel?
It just made me scared about anything that had to do with sex. Mm-hmm. Like after that, I was so closed off. I didn't want to hook up with anyone because I was just nervous. Like I would date people, but I would only kiss them because I would just be nervous to do anything else. And then the whole world is assuming, oh, she's the sex symbol. But deep down inside, like I didn't even want to let anyone do anything to me.
Yeah.
But everyone, because of that tape, assumed that I was like doing that every night with people.
Right. Yeah, that's something that like I remember I struggled at the beginning of my show was like, I remember I went through like a really weird period with sex because I felt like I like was speaking about it so openly that then when I met guys, they thought like, oh, she must be like doing some crazy shit in the bedroom. And it's like, sure, if I love you and we're like having a great intimate bond, but like it, there was almost like a pressure I started to feel like I was putting on myself. And I'm curious, like reclaiming your own sexuality, like how did you handle connecting with a man?
It took me a while. Just like people even gave me the nickname of Miss Blue Baller, and that's what people would call me because I wouldn't do anything. But then in the public, people assume something else. Yeah. And then I kind of just, I don't know, played into the character and like doing the Carl's Jr. commercial, doing all these really sexy shoots. Mm-hmm. So kind of like exuding and like showing this kind of sex symbol vibe. But deep inside, I didn't feel that way at all.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like men will never understand. It's like you, there's a way to like, yes, progress in the world through your looks and through like in moments, like playing the game. But then it also doesn't like negate the fact that like you are a human being and like you are going home at night feeling so over sexualized. And it's just like there's, it's a hard like dichotomy of like wanting to be seen for who you are, but also recognizing we still live in a man's world, so you're gonna play the fucking game in some moments. And I think the sex tape thing, I agree with you. I think it was like, it's the perfect example of like how wrong the world is with like, why was it all about you and how much of a slut and a whore you were that what you had sex with your boyfriend. Yeah. It's like, why is he not like a predator at this point for like putting something out like that? And I think it, I don't know, I just get frustrated when like the narrative is still so skewed. Like we still see it to this day. If something comes out about a woman, you're not being like, well, who put it out? Well, the man did. It's all on the woman. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I just think it's like important to like, you are now a mother and like you have built this empire. And I do think it's important sometimes to talk about these things because it reminds people like something from your past that felt like the end of the world in that moment. Like it does not define you. I appreciate you talking about it because I know it's a lot.
Thank God it's a different time. Like I feel like there's just been, there's a lot of work to do, but I think there's been a lot of progress. And
also, like, I think it's really amazing that you're so open about talking about things, because that, I don't know, when I listen to your podcast, that's why I was scared to do your podcast, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm so not used to talking about sex and things. And, but you, I think it's amazing how you use your voice and you really inspire others to just be open about who they are.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to play a little rapid fire. Okay. What is a recent purchase that you spent too much money on? Don't lie to me.
At Chanel in Paris during Fashion Week, but it actually wasn't my money. My husband is so sweet. He's like, I want you to have like a pretty woman moment. I was going on a sister trip to Paris with my little sister and for her birthday. So he's like, here's my credit card. Go and spend whatever you want. And it was our 46-month anniversary. So it was just so sweet, that because no guy has ever done that to me and said, like, here's my card, like, go and Chanel and buy whatever you want. So I guess that wasn't me, but...
What did you buy?
Everything. No. I bought these shoes, so much jewelry, so many purses, sunglasses. Wow. Just, like, it was so much fun.
I love you. You're like, like, I didn't even... I love how my question is, what did you spend? And you're like, and it wasn't even my money. Ladies, that is the way to do it. Take his card.
Thank you, Daddy. Ever...
Have you ever been, like, the one that was, like, having to buy boyfriend shit? Like, were you always the one that was, like, the breadwinner?
A couple people.
Those models, man.
I feel like... It's just not attractive. I don't know.
Right, like, get your own credit card.
Yeah, it's beyond. Like, there's been some people I just, like, lose all respect for them. And then you're just, like, their total boss. And you're just, like, I can't even look at you anymore.
Do you have that a lot where people, like, actually, like, ask you for things or money?
Yes.
How do you navigate that?
I hate saying no to people, so sometimes I just give it. Or I ghost them.
Paris, I was literally gonna say, are you ghosting the people? It's like an aunt that's like, Paris, can I have this? Just ghost.
No, if it's someone who's like, I feel bad for them and like they're like a nice person, but then there's other people who are just greedy, who don't want to work, and they're just like
ghost.
Yeah,
ghost. Bye. Okay, what is a guaranteed way to give you the ick?
That
greedy bitch.
That, and when people are really like sweaty and they come up and they want to give you a kiss on the cheek, or they, it's like the European way and they go like twice, or in some countries it's three, so it's like sweaty. So I'm just like, like, you know, you have sweat on your face, why are you doing this to me? And that happens a lot.
And like, you have what I can say is like, afterwards I'm like, I need whoever, like, whatever skincare you're up to over there, you don't need any sweaty lips, but like, I like need all your, can you tell us your skincare routine? Yes.
Well, it's my skincare line,
right,
and I'm just obsessed with anything to do with skincare. My mom taught me all about it when I was 8 years old, so just using the serums and the eye creams. And now with all this tech, I built this living spa downstairs. I'll show you it after. It's like this full on spa that has all this like equipment you'd see like in like a medical place, with like huge machines and like hyperbaric chamber, cryotherapy machine, like hydrofacial, like these like lasers and things that like tighten your skin. I've never done any Botox. I've never done a filler. I'm a 100% natural.
Wait, so do you go down there like every morning?
When I have time.
Like, bye, Carter. Grab your coffee and be like, 4 hours, let's get into it.
I do it on the weekends, but then like during the week, sometimes if I'm doing calls or emails or things like that, I can just like kind of lay in one of these things and kind of just multitask. I'm such a multitasker.
Do you ever do Zoom calls from like the chamber?
Yes. The chamber is amazing. It looks like a spaceship. It can fit four people.
Do you think that your friends really, truly love you, or are they just coming for the spa aspects? Because I'm like, Paris, what are you doing this weekend?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. That's like goals. Okay. What is your biggest insecurity?
Just how shy I am. Mm. I get, especially like being out, I get so socially awkward. And ever since like the pandemic, it's like gotten worse, where I'm just so shy and I wish that I wasn't that way.
Like, why? Because you think people would expect something different when they meet you?
I don't know. I just get really just shy. Weird. I don't know. I'm just very shy when it comes to speaking with people and meeting new people.
And sometimes I just get so overwhelmed with so many people coming up. So I wish that I was more confident in that way, where I wouldn't feel so shy, or like my cheeks get so red, and I hate that.
You're doing great, sweetie.
Thanks.
You're doing great today. When was the last time you cried?
Last night.
What happened?
That was a good cry.
Oh.
I was on the plane and I just posted a video on TikTok of my little baby. And just reading the comments, just people are so sweet and just showing him so much love. And just the things that they're saying to me just touch me so much. Yeah. And it just makes me cry.
Yeah.
I cry like every day reading people's messages. Just reading people's messages saying, like, you inspire me. Thank you for what you've done, using your voice. And just girls and people who have been through the same thing as me, and just hearing just how I touch people like that just touches me so much. Yeah. I'm such a sensitive person.
That just reminded me, like, I feel like you're someone that doesn't address drama. Like, you're kind of like, don't care, don't give a fuck. And can I ask you kind of about, like, your decision recently? There were people being, like, absolutely disgusting and awful online about your son, and you spoke up about it. Like, how did you decide to say something?
I feel like my mama bear instincts came out. Like, you could say what you want about me, but this is my little innocent angel, an infant. And the fact that there's people that are that sick in the head that they're going to go and talk like that about a little baby was just so wrong and just so hurtful. And I actually just wrote back a comment on TikTok to someone, and then the press took that and then said that I made a statement. But then after someone asked me, and then I just said how I felt.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think it's right. And I think it's just so cruel that people would be mean about a little baby.
It's like disturbing how like casual people think it is to just like leave comments that are so nasty on people's pages as if it won't affect you. And I think sometimes, especially if you have a lot of followers, people feel like you don't see it. But here you are sitting being like, I love my fans. I read so many of their comments. I am crying on the plane because they're being so sweet. So obviously you're going to see the mean ones. And I agree. I think especially when it's not about you, it's like, it's your platform. You know, people are going to like come at you. But when it's about a baby, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Like, I have serious issues.
What is something people would be surprised to find in your home that they wouldn't expect?
The big alpaca when you walk in.
Wait, what?
It's not real. It's Kim and Chris and Chloe, when Phoenix was born, delivered this like huge alpaca that is like 7 feet tall. It's the cutest thing in the world. So I have it in the front entrance next to my big, like this big giraffe that has like a chandelier coming out of it.
Oh my God.
That's really cute. I'll show you.
Do you have like a specific like love for alpacas, or it was just like a random
gift? I love alpacas.
Okay. And I so they them. Knew that. And so they're like, here you go.
I love
wow.
them.
I will say, I did, your photos around your house are fabulous, but like there's so many photos of you around this house that I was like, I wanted to like take a picture of every single one. I'm like, you look amazing in all of them. Is Carter like, can we throw one up of me?
He has one of me and him.
There's one of
it's
him.
It's a painting I got for one of our anniversary or month anniversaries. And it's like the picture of our first, not our first kiss, but our first public kiss at this Christmas party. We've been dating a month.
Yeah.
And we were just like making out. And then Paris Jackson was like, can I have your phone? And took like a bunch of pictures of us that are so cute. Because it was like our first like pictures, because we were only dating like a few weeks. So it's not like I'm gonna like ask him to take pictures.
Right.
And she took them, and those are pictures I'll always cherish. So I had them painted.
That is so sweet. Wait, did you own this house before Carter, you and your relationship?
No, I was living at my other house.
Oh, well, so you moved in here and you said, Carter, back up. All the photos are going to be of me. You just relax.
He loves it.
He loves
it. So sweet.
That is really sweet. It actually is way better than the guy being like, I want mine up there. You're like,
oh my God. If there was a guy who had pictures like this, like I do everywhere, I would, you are so beyond.
If you had ended up with the model.
Yeah, what exactly. Happened?
What is the craziest rumor you've ever heard about yourself?
There's lots of those as well. One of the craziest people once said that I was dating Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Which was just the most random rumor ever. So I've known him my entire life. My mom and him were best friends growing up since they were 13. So he was like part of my family. And then I don't know how it came about, like one article wrote one day that we were dating, and that was just such a random thing because he was like my uncle. So I was like, what?
That is probably, I don't know if I'll ever be able to ask someone that question again on the show and get a more iconic answer than, oh, the fact that everyone thought I was dating Michael Jackson. Okay. I think it's so, so adorable that you are married to Carter, but you guys have known each other for 15 years and you didn't start dating until 2019.
Yes.
Talk to me about that day. Like, what made you change your mind?
I wasn't even looking to date anyone. I was single for a year at this point. I went home to the Hamptons for Thanksgiving. And then my mom said, oh, I'm going to go to my friend's house for lunch. Do you want to come with me? And I was like, okay. And I walk in and I see like this guy sitting there and he's got the biggest smile. And then he was just so sweet. He was with his mom and he was just like, just so attentive with her. And I feel like you can tell a lot about a man by the way he treats his mom, because you know that he'll be a great husband and father one day. And he was just so different from everyone else. Like, he was just like this sweet, cute nerd, and just so, I don't know, I was just like getting all like nervous and shy. And we had lunch together that day, and then we came back that night for Thanksgiving dinner, and I was just like thinking about him all day, like Googling him, like looking him up, and then seeing like he was like this brilliant businessman. And like he was someone I'd known for so long, but I feel like timing is everything. And I was not ready for a nice guy back then.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know who I was at this point. And this was right before my documentary was about to come out. So I was on this whole like journey of self-discovery and like learning who I was. And then that night I was having dinner and then I was like, let's go outside. We went outside and I just went for it and just like started making out with him, like against the tennis court, like chain link fence. And ever since that night, that was like it. We've never spent a night apart after that.
I,
it was like,
damn,
it was hot.
It was hot. I love also that you're saying like he wasn't like your, like what you normally went for. Like, can you give girls advice listening of like, they're stuck in their ways. They have this one type. They think it's their type. Like, why should we sometimes venture out and go something for something different?
I'm just so happy I went for someone different, because someone who's not in the scene, not in the industry. He doesn't care about fame. He doesn't care about any of that. He's a total opposite of anyone that I've ever been with.
Amazing.
And I feel like if you're dating the same type of guy and it's not working out, maybe it's good to try something else.
Yeah.
Because you never know. And now I've never been happier. I just feel like I found my person, my other half, my home. I feel just so at peace. Before, I was just always just like wanting something else and like always looking to see like what else was out there, and I never was settled down. And with him, it's like I know that we were meant to be. Like, I feel like my grandma and his dad are in heaven, and they like talked and were like, we need to like hook these two up. Like something, like I feel like it's really fate.
It's amazing. How long did it take you for him to like, to show him like the real Paris?
I had never like really shown myself to anyone. So it was just like, he came over the next night and we had a date at my house. And he's like, I want to get to know the real Paris Hilton. And I was just so shy. And
you're like, no.
I drank like a bottle of rosé. And then I was able to like be more comfortable with him. And then we just started getting closer and closer.
Paris.
But it was, yeah, it was like the first time I had really done that. I don't know. I was like,
it's amazing. You kind of like, I guess that's kind of what, yeah, like how you would know is like, you kind of just went right into it and knew, as opposed to like, you could be talking to someone for years and you've never shown them. Like the fact that it was kind of like the next night, you're like, all right, let's start. Like, that's amazing. What qualities does he bring out in you that you now like about yourself that you maybe didn't get to like exude when you were in other relationships?
Just, he makes me feel just so safe. I think before, I was always just on edge. I was always like, oh my god, this person's gonna do this, they're gonna cheat on me, they're gonna do that. And with him, I just know that's not gonna happen. So he just makes me feel like calm, like I could be myself. Like, he lifts me up in so many ways and supports me in everything that I want to do. And he's also just, he's so organized and like so smart. And then he just helps me be my best version of myself.
I
like,
love it.
I feel like I've never felt just like happier, more fulfilled with my business, with my personal life, with just everything. Like, we're custom made for each other.
When you were saying that you feel so safe, I was like, where did I see this? That didn't you have like a MacBook for every single boyfriend you had?
Yes.
Can you explain this logic? Every single boyfriend you had in your life, you would get a different MacBook for that period of your life.
Yes.
Explain.
This was because before, my boyfriends would get so controlling and so psychotic. They'd be like, I need to look through your iCloud or iPhoto thing, mm-hmm. and like wanted to look through the albums and everything. And if there was any picture of an ex or a guy, they would like start erasing it, screaming, going crazy, throwing the computer at me, hitting me. Like, it was terrifying. Like, I dated so many assholes and really abusive people. So I just had like trauma. So I was like, I need to get a new computer every time because they're going to go into it. And I didn't want to erase all my memories.
Yeah, I think that's fucked up when people make you erase shit. It's like, okay, we all had a past. It's okay. It's like, memories are good. What is a mom skill you have that people would be surprised to know about you? That you're like finding yourself like now in motherhood, you're like, ooh, I kind of have this down, or I'm good at this, or I like this about myself.
I'm good at bedtime lullabies. Just like, I can put him to sleep so easily just by holding him and singing Stars Are Blind.
Give me a little something right now. Go ahead. I'm going to close my eyes.
I'm so shy. I can't even do it in front of you.
That's not what. What if I don't look at you? Let's sing it together.
I'm too shy.
Okay. I can envision it. I heard like a little like, even.
Oh my God.
That was actually good.
I did it yesterday.
Honestly, as long as it's putting him to bed, you're good. Okay, last question. Obviously, your fans are so obsessed with you. They will follow you to the end of the earth. What can they expect next? I know you just referenced the book, but like, tell me everything about everything. What are you doing? What can they expect?
Well, the book is going to be turning into a TV series with A24 and the Fanning sisters producing it with me.
This is like what we've all been waiting for, is like, we need to watch this on television. And like, you knew that, but you had to wait for the right moment. This is, that is amazing. Oh my God, I'm going to be glued to the TV.
Yes.
That is so, so exciting.
I'm so
and
excited.
So you're going to be helping produce.
Yes. So we're just getting the writers right now. And I'm just so excited for this project. And my new album, I've been in the studio. I have Sia executive producing my full album.
Oh my God.
That she's going to be here tonight. I love her so much. She's the most brilliant songwriter of our time. I'm so honored to be working with her. Megan Trainor has written me so many epic songs. The album is so sick. Here to save pop music.
Paris, I can't thank you enough for coming on. It was like truly well overdue. Everyone is going to be obsessed, and just thank you for giving me your time. And I'm just so happy that we got to do this.
Thank you.
Too, honey.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month. So I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.